Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel at home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.
Hello, and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. This is the show that comes to you from the back of a Volkswagen bus with music and stories from my travels up and down the West Coast, playing music in bars, casinos, county fairs, Volkswagen bus shows, whatever will pay the bills. My name is Dave Manning, and speaking of Volkswagen buses, we are going to have a whole show today devoted to the world's only double-size Volkswagen bus. The double-size Volkswagen bus in question is called Walter, and he lives down in Phoenix, Arizona. And I gotta tell you, the first time that I saw Walter was at the Burning Man Arts Festival out in the on a dry lake bed in the Nevada desert. And there's been a few shows about Burning Man, so you know from listening to those, it's a crazy, crazy time. And I was way out at what they call the deep playa, where you're away from most of the festival. And as I said, this whole area is a dry lake bed, perfectly flat, no vegetation, nothing to break up the perfectly flatness. And it was at night, and I was walking along and had a few drinks in me, and off in the distance I saw a Volkswagen bus. And I thought to myself, that's really strange, because, you know, kind of once you drive into this festival and park and set up camp, you're not supposed to drive your ordinary cars around the festival. Only art cars are supposed to be driven around. And so I was watching this Volkswagen bus coming at night. It was coming straight towards me from a long way off. And as it got closer and closer, I kind of realized something was wrong. Something was out of place. And then as it got a little closer, I was able to make out a person nearby the bus. And the person wasn't even as tall as the wheels of the bus. And I realized something was very wrong. And I looked down at the bottle in my hand to double check. And then when it went by, I realized that it was indeed a double size Volkswagen bus. So last week, I got lucky enough to travel to the Walter Dome in Phoenix, Arizona. And the Walter Dome is a big old warehouse that has been converted into the garage for Walter. And I got to meet with Kirk, who is the mastermind behind Walter. And Kirk, when you meet him, he's a man in his mid-40s, got a good build to him, and he's got a shock of hair. And he's kind of got the look of, if you put him in a white lab coat with some funny goggles, he would look all the part of a mad scientist. So I showed up down there at the Walter Dome down in Phoenix on a uncharacteristically thunderstormy day. And in the background, you'll hear the thunderstorm, and you'll hear the rain hitting the roof of the warehouse once in a while. And you'll also hear some of the team that put Walter together. They're still working away. He's got some other projects going on down there as we were interviewing. So you hear kind of a grinder and a welder in the background once in a while. But let's go now to the interview with Kirk in the Walter Dome down in the flat, hot sprawl. Well, today, thunderstormy. That is Phoenix, Arizona.
All right. So tell me your life story. But I understand you used to be a doctor.
Yep. I'm from Iowa. Lived in Iowa up until I came here for training, and trained in family medicine here in town in Scottsdale, and have lived here about 20 years.
All right. And so how did this whole thing begin?
Walter. Yeah. So Walter was a dream, basically, based on seeing an old fire truck up in a little town called Jerome. There's a mine up there, and this old guy named Don has collected an unbelievable number of unusual and old.
Yeah, he's got like a
trucks.
Masculine dream of
exactly.
Machines everywhere, way up on this hill. You can do whatever you want with them.
Right. And so they have a Volkswagen bus show up there every year. And I first went with my family, with my little kids, and didn't ever go up into the mine. And then a friend and I ended up finally at one of the jamborees going up and seeing this huge engine, 10,000 cubic inch engine called Big Bertha that he'll fire up for $5 or $10. And about maybe 50 feet from that was this weird looking fire truck. and we were sitting up on top of it and just looking down at the Jerome Jamboree from up there. And I just sort of realized that this vehicle that we were climbing around on had the right wheelbase and these enormous tires to be an enormous scale Volkswagen bus. And I'd heard about this thing called Burning Man, and that it was out in the middle of the desert and it was hot. And so we started checking this thing out, and it had pumps on it and water cannons. And we thought, what a cool idea to take this thing, take it out in the middle of the desert and spray water. And, you know, maybe that would be something good to take to Burning Man. And that was about 8-9 years ago.
Wow, so it's been a long time.
And, it took a long time to get the bus, to get Walter. And finally I traded Don an old 79 Volkswagen bus for it, straight across trade. And Don drove it down to Phoenix to a friend of mine's place in North Phoenix. And it sat there for a while. We broke it for about a year by not understanding the ignition system. And but we still had this idea of converting it. And really over the last 2 years then, we kind of got our act together, create a big team, and we've been working on it ever since.
Wow. And I mean Walter's immense. I mean, in this whole thing, like, I mean, with all due respect, like, where's all this money come from? Like, were you lucky and found some good business?
Well, I'm fortunate in that the team that has helped me work on this is a combination of both people who work for money and people who work for the love of Walter. So there have been a lot of materials and time donated on the project. And then it has taken money. Nobody really knows how much, and no one really cares
That's
to know. But yeah, Walter is worth every penny of it, whatever it is. Because he was abandoned pretty much up there. He was a fire truck, worked on airport runways, Luke Air Force Base first. Here in Arizona, 1963 is the year he was made, and then commissioned at an airport on this Air Force base. And he's a crash truck, so he's made by the Walter Trucking Company out of Voorheesville, New York. That's why his name's Walter. He's a Walter truck. He was the first all-aluminum crash truck ever built. He carried 1,500 gallons of water. He's four-wheel drive, was supposed to be able to drive over burning wreckage. He had water pumps and jets that sprayed out of the
bottom. We gotta arrange that. I want to see if that was some burning wreckage. That'd be pretty cool.
He could do it. And so he's just immense, and was supposed to get really within a few feet of the fuselage and discharge kind of in one fell swoop this enormous quantity of water mixed with foam. So it would be an enormous foam dollop to try to save whoever was in the fuselage. That was his only job. So he did that for years and years, and then ended up at another airport runway. And then finally ended up in a little town in northern Arizona as a city fire engine. And so if your house was on fire, Walter would show up there.
Holy
and
cow.
He's doesn't look like any other fire truck that I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So. Short, squatty. Really tall.
Yeah, I remember. I've seen the pictures in your album. Like it could fit under the wing of a plane almost.
Like a Volkswagen bus. Like a giant Volkswagen bus is exactly what we saw immediately the first time we saw him. So just to get an idea of how big he is, you said he's immense. He's a 2-to-1 scale. Mm-hmm. And so Archimedes was the first guy who figured out that for similarly sized objects, the surface area of one side would be the square of the scale, and the volume is the cube of the scale. So he's a 2-to-1 scale bus. So he's about twice as wide, twice as tall, twice as long. So that means he's 8 times the volume of a bus.
All right. Yeah.
So to get an idea, if you're listening, 4 buses on the bottom, 4 buses stacked on top, that's about how big he is.
Oh yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
But one thing I admire, before we go and maybe you can just show me around real quick, but one thing I really admire is that, you know, like I said, like this obviously is a big project, a lot of money going into this, and a lot of people, if they have some money, they're like, I'm just going to go sit by the pool in Maui, you know? But you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go help people have fun. And I admire that. Like, is that kind of how you arrived at this?
I'm not exactly sure how this has all happened. I've completely lost control of this. It's taken a direction of its own. I really think of him as community property, and he became that as soon as the first wave of people got involved in mm-hmm. deconstructing and then reconstructing him in this new form. Since that point, more and more and more people have, you know, worked on him. I estimate right now probably 100 people have had something concrete that they did in terms of his current form. And so there's a lot. He's a collaborative art project, really, is sort of the way I see it. And I don't think I had thought this all the way through. I've been mostly kind of following his lead and just kind of going along with it. And he definitely has this sort of persona, and people start calling him almost immediately by his name, and he has people that just, you know, really are super intrigued with him. And we have a lot of kids that are super fans. They go nuts
yeah.
over him.
Oh yeah.
And so he's sort of a being now that I'm kind of lucky enough to hang out with.
Wow. All right, give me the nickel tour.
Okay. So so the first thing you see is just how tall he is. He's about 13 foot 2 inches tall, and he started out as a split window single cab pickup. That was all we could accomplish before Burning Man in 2009. So we worked really hard to get him there in a completed state so we could drive around. But right now he's a 23 window bus, which is, you know, kind of the ultimate of Volkswagen buses,
yeah.
right? And to get an idea, the tires are about 5 feet tall, something like that.
They are, yeah. They're just
very large.
They come up to my chin. There
right?
it comes up to my chin. Yep.
His hubcaps are spun from big rectangular or square pieces of aluminum, and almost everything's aluminum. Yeah. The body, we framed and skinned him. With the Volkswagen shape and some of the details, everything in aluminum, wherever we could, because his internal frame is all aluminum.
Yeah.
These tires are able to go over the highway at 70 miles an hour. The fastest I've taken him is about 55 miles an hour down the Southern California freeways, with 50 Volkswagen buses in tow behind us on
so
our way.
Cutting the wind.
On our way between. Two big Volkswagen shows, and so he goes down the highway, that's for sure.
That's cool. How many gears?
He has like? 3 forward gears.
Oh, really? I was going
to ask. And a torque converter. So here, I can pull up to a stop sign, push my foot on the brake, and he doesn't die.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So like automatic, but you have to put a clutch in to shift between gears.
Oh, so he's like an auto stick.
He is like an auto stick.
The old Volkswagen thing.
Exactly.
So the tire says it's a 445, 95, 25, if you know much about tire sizes.
Yep.
That's just big.
So maybe to the engine, he's got an 844 cubic inch gasoline V8. So, a normal Volkswagen engine, 1600 cc's or maybe an 1800 cc. This is about an 18,000 cc engine, so it's big.
Does that go with Archimedes' law?
It is. It actually is. So he's, I would say, about 10 times the volume. Or, if you have a souped-up bus, he's right at the 8-to-1.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so if you had a slightly larger engine, maybe 2,000 cc's.
That'd be 8-to-1.
Yep.
Volume.
And so, rear-engined, but unfortunately water-cooled, not air-cooled.
Well, I don't know if you'd want to see an air-cooled engine that big.
I don't think so. Now we're walking around to the interior room. So he's a full camper. He's got 2 air-conditioned rooms.
Air-conditioned rooms?
He does. And we'll go on in. You can still see some of the old things. This was the foam valve.
Oh, yeah, foam valve.
These are original parts of Walter. You see this oxidized aluminum. This is the original frame. Large aluminum I-beams and angle irons.
But then you don't use a lot of wood and obviously antique door handles.
Yep.
And
so call this the kind of the Hobbit Hut. It's the this was a the largest of the water tanks was here, and then the smaller of the water tanks was in through this door, and this you can see folds out, so there's a bed in here, there's a sliding door there where you can close that off, and then an air conditioner which we can use to cool the amps, which I'll talk about the stereo in a minute, but these amplifiers take a lot of cooling. As you look through, you can see we raised the driver's controls about 3 feet so that I could see out. We covered up the windshields.
As you're looking in.
He was a split window. He was a splitty.
You can see the old windshield, but it's inside the skin of the vehicle. But then the new driver's thing, the stick shift itself is,
Why don't you go on in?
4 feet tall.
Yeah. And you only see half of the stick shift here because the rest of it's down below this this wooden support flooring here. But all the controls were raised. We used much of the original Walter dash and mechanisms for braking and steering and accelerating. You can see the old aluminum
The diamond plate
that was the top of Walter. There was, where you're standing right now was a huge water cannon that we took off because it ran off of the engine with a power takeoff, and if someone were accidentally to have engaged that, you'd probably cut a man in half. So we decided that Walter was much more about having fun and less about cutting anyone in half. So.
Yeah, that's too much water.
It is. Yep. So the Walter Trucking Company went out of business in the 80s, but they were around since the late 1800s, and they their specialty was this reduction gearing, and like Volkswagen buses have reduction gears. And he has four reduction, all four tires have reduction gears.
Their own boxes right behind them.
Right. Oh, yeah. So it's full-time, 100% four-wheel drive, never loses traction, and these were, they built snow plows, off-road mining equipment, specialty trucks, really heavy-duty specialty trucks. And so there's a small following of Walter vehicles, and they're just a phenomenal machine. So we'll go on up top.
Oh yeah, they got the doorway in the back corner of the bus, like a double-decker bus would have. And you go up to the what I would say is the tiki-themed deck.
Yep. So a lot of what Walter's made out of, like some of these railings, a lot of these railings were the original railings from the top of the of the fire truck. We tried to use, he's made of aluminum. We could crush him up and recycle him if we wanted. Which the guy that I got him from told me, if this doesn't work out, since he didn't believe that we were going to make a giant Volkswagen bus, said you can always recycle him and he'll be worth a lot of money. So. He's a recyclable vehicle, and the materials are bamboo and a wood called ipe, really sustainable kind of materials. So, and a lot of the wood that you saw downstairs was all reclaimed wood. Wherever possible, like we try to either keep the parts of Walter that were original, like the engine, and all we've done is improved and kept the engine up and got it re-going, rather than ripping it out and putting a diesel in or something that might be more practical. It's really about resurrecting this vehicle, which had a long life of service, saving lives, doing his job, and then he kind of got trapped on the side of a mountain and was sort of stuck there. So part of I think this story is reviving something and giving it a new life, really. So and I think that's one of the things that people pick up when they work on it, is the kind of care and attention that people take on this project. Is they're really putting their heart and soul and creativity into something that is a one of a kind, and so that's Walter in that regard.
Yeah, and then since I first saw him, in addition to making it into a whole bus, you've added these racks. Those look like the kind of speakers that I've seen like on wakeboarding boats and such, these big speakers that, they look like, describe them for the radio, they look like a teardrop headlight, except where the light would be, there's a speaker. What are they, probably, six, 10
eight
inches?
Inch.
Eight-inch speakers?
Yeah. So one of the things that we decided was we really needed to upgrade his stereo for Burning Man this year. That when we were there last year, they told us that his lights were not adequate for the kind of shows that, you know, vehicles are supposed to put on at night at Burning Man. And we knew that the stereo was just not up to snuff. So we actually took the stereo out of Walter and we put it in that little pug car that you can see right down there. It's a little Kawasaki mule that was made into a dog. And so the little bit of stereo that you see up on the roof, that's really about all the stereo Walter had. So we got some guys from Rockford Fosgate, came down, in part donated some of their time and gave us great discounts. And they installed 50 speakers.
Wow.
He has, let's see, I'm looking at an enclosure here on the top that has two 15-inch subwoofers in it.
Oh, which looks like just a bench.
Right. And then underneath the belly of Walter, there are 12 15-inch subwoofers. So he's got, 8, 4, 14 15-inch subwoofers and about 15,000 watts. And a total of about 50,000
watts. Yeah. And like a guitar amplifier, a loud guitar amplifier is running like 400 watts.
Yeah. Supposedly the peaks are close to 50,000 watts.
Oh,
and so he had to have a second generator put in, a huge bank of batteries, and then lots of sort of electrical supports and circuit breakers and things like that to be able to handle that. Because he also has other electrical systems, these lighting, I don't know how many LEDs he has now. This company in Arizona came and donated some time and didn't donate the materials, but gave us a great discount. And he has lots of sort of cutting edge red, green, blue LEDs, so he can be any color and can pulse with the music and do things like that. And so he's probably got, I don't know, 30,000-40,000 LEDs or something like that now.
Crazy.
Would be my guess.
And they're all computer controlled. Like when we were up on your own, we sat there and I thought you just strung lights on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But no, like you had that whole computer control module.
Yeah.
So you could run different patterns and different things. And so it's sensitive to the music in different ways.
Right. And the weird thing happened at Burning Man. These guys came and they installed this system so that we could connect to this new stereo system and pulse and change light strategies with the music. And we were at one of the big parties and I shut the stereo off and Walter all of a sudden picked up and started beating along with the music of this party. And out of Burning Man, the music's loud, so we were a long ways away, but we could definitely hear it. You could feel it in your chest. And Walter immediately began to do his light show right along with that music. When I got back, I asked the guys who installed it, I said, how could that happen? They had no idea that he had some kind of external microphone to be able to listen to it. So you can imagine that at Burning Man, all of a sudden, Walter sort of takes over and starts doing that. And then I got a lot of time to play with his lights, and a lot of programming had been done. But every once in a while, it happened like 3 times at Burning Man, all of a sudden, I would lose complete control of where the changes were going. And all of a sudden, it would just start taking off on its own. So not only could Walter hear, but he could wrestle the control for me. The only way I could get it back was to shut the system off and turn it back on again. So.
Wow. We've created, it's got artificial intelligence. It's got the Walter brain. Wow, man, you're a bit of a mad scientist.
Hey, I had nothing to do with that. That just happened. I'm just observing what the phenomenon are. So
so what do you see down the road?
To
use an apt analogy.
Yeah. We built this, the same people that built Walter have also renovated an old door shop, which is what we're in right now, and so created a proper home for him.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is that we'll start using this space for gatherings, and, you know, people want to come and enjoy Walter, have a party or whatever. He's the perfect addition, you know, to a celebration, because he just loves to have fun, and everybody has fun when they're around him.
Yeah, that's true.
He's had pretty
much... For your next bar mitzvah.
He's had pretty much universal sort of acceptance. Really surprising. I mean, everybody likes him.
Yeah.
And so, what's not to like, I guess?
That's not to... Nothing, I guess.
Well, and I think one of the things that really does happen is... when you stand next to it, it's like you were, for an adult, it's like when you're 4 or 5 years old. That's about how big something would have been. So I don't know if something about scale does spark something in you and make you a little younger than you really are, or just memory, but he definitely has an effect on adults that way. And kids, they just love to climb on him, and they just, you know, kids have a blast. So, but in terms of other things for him, I think his next step is to become a real business, a not-for-profit company. Mm-hmm. And so as a not-for-profit, then figuring out where he can do good. So he's, you know, he's spent all of his working life trying to save lives as a fire truck, and then he went through this transition phase, and now he's back, and he's out, and he's driving around, and so I think now, I mean, he's always done community service, so I think he's probably in search of what his role is in making the world a better place.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just imagining if so-and-so is having a fundraiser, it might go a little bit better if Walter showed up. Yeah,
yeah,
that could definitely happen. Yeah. Wow. Is there anything else that so in the space here, I've before we finish up, I notice you've got the stage, you got a stage going, you got a balcony in this big warehouse space.
Right. And the world's largest Craftsman style doors. So like a 2-to-1 scale Craftsman door with gigantic doorknobs. And since it's 2-to-1 scale, it's for, if you're listening, it's 4 doors. So it's, since it's a 2-dimensional structure, all primarily right. when you look at it, it's 2 times 2. So it's a 4 times, take 4 doors, put them up there, that's about how big they are.
They are.
And Walter needs every inch of that space to be able to drive in and out.
Well, so you're right.
That's how just, he gets in.
I was like, yeah, the tall, yeah, you need a big door.
Yes, very big door.
But I noticed up with the Jerome show, you had the double-size lawn chairs.
Right, right.
Double-size folding chairs.
There they are right there.
And so, yeah, that amazed me, I don't know. And they're done in such a, I mean, they look just like they were just bought at the department store. And, except they're just twice as big.
People ask me where I got them, so I always say at the Giant store. And, you know, there's stores for little people and there's stores for big people. But what I noticed at Jerome was the biggest guys that were there were absolutely right on those things. And one guy borrowed it to carry out to the big bus giveaway at the end and was sitting in it. And really looked almost like it was normal size. So we have 2-to-1 scale people that are out there for sure.
Wow. Well, is there anything else that you want to add?
No, other than that, you know, Walter really is about people working together and creating things and having them be for good. I think that's Walter's basic mission.
If the world only had more folks like the Walter team, yeah, it'd be a much better place.
More Walters.
More. Here's to more Walters.
Cheers.
Yes. Let this be the first of many such things. If people want to see pictures of Walter, you've got a great website, right?
WalterTheBus.org.
WalterTheBus.org.
Okay. We
can't tell the story. All right, so I'll give that website once more. It's easy to remember, walterthebus.org. My name is Dave Manning. You've been listening to the My Home is on the Road show, coming to you this week from thunderstormy Arizona. And I want to give a big thank you to Groundswell Media Productions. They are the ones that keep DaveManning.net up and running. That's my website where you can find out about my music, a little bit about my travels, and also listen to any of the My Home is on the Road radio shows archived there, downloadable for free. Yahoo! And a big thanks to Nathan and all the folks at Groundswell Media Productions that keeps that website up and running. Though I have to say, when I was up there in Missoula, Montana, visiting Nathan, we were drinking some cheap beer, and all of a sudden he just had to piss so bad that
huge water cannon that you probably cut a man in half.
All right, Nathan. Well, good thing they're made out of porcelain, those toilets. Safe travels. Have yourself a fantastic day.
Well, my home's on the road. So road's the only place I feel home. Don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.